Hey, Will. It's our first service of the new year, and we are going to continue where we left off last year in 2 Peter chapter 1. This will be lesson number 22. If you would please open your Bibles there, 2 Peter chapter 1. We started studying this book at the beginning of August, and there's plenty more here to look at. 2 Peter chapter 1. This morning we're going to take a phrase here and run it through the scriptures. It's an oft-repeated admonition that you find. 2 Peter 1, verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, as we look this morning to this admonition in your holy word, help us, Lord, to understand and to apply it to our lives, to understand that we need more than just to possess your holy scriptures in our house, but we need to take heed to what they say and do what they say. And so today, Lord, help us to see what we need to take heed to according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So we've got God's word, the Holy Bible, and the reference we looked at here is to the scripture, giving heed to the scripture and paying attention to the scripture. Okay, that's now there's three things that God does in the life of every man. Three things. And whether you know Jesus as your Savior or not, these three facts still abide. First of all, God in grace warns in advance and guides in advance. A gracious God does not leave you to find out later that there was a heaven and how to get there. He doesn't leave you later to find out there was a hell and to warn you about it later when it's too late. He doesn't leave you at the end of your life to wish you had known how to live a blessed life and a full and a meaningful life. No, right up front, God gives us in the scripture everything we need to know to make right and proper decisions so that we can enjoy life and life more abundant in this world and in the world to come. Secondly, God by design does not interfere with our lives. Here's the warning, here's the guidance. Please take heed to what I've said in the scripture. Okay, that's what God does. And then, contrary to some religious philosophies, God allows you to choose your direction day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year. God gets blamed all the time when men receive the consequences of their own choosing. But it is their own choosing. God is not willing that any should perish, and yet some do. It is God's will that all come to the knowledge of the truth, and yet many do not. And thirdly, God in righteousness gives all men the fruit of their choices. If you choose hell, you'll get it. If you choose heaven, you'll be there. If you choose the way of righteousness and truth and peace and joy, that will be yours. If you choose the way of scorning and derision and hatred and sin, that's what you'll get. Now, that's just the fact of the matter there. Now look in our Bible at what the scripture says and take careful note of this phrase. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Okay, it's called the scripture. That word of prophecy, that's the scripture, okay? So we have the word of God. We have the Bible. He says, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed. Now the illustration is of light shining in a dark place. Now think about this. If I awakened you, if you were sleeping and I wake you up in the middle of the night, and before you get out of bed, I say, wait, the room is filled with sharp pointed objects. The room is filled with hard objects upon which you could stub your toe. This room is filled with creepy things hanging from the ceiling. But don't worry, because I've turned on the light so that you won't cut your feet, and so you won't stub your toes, and so you won't run your face into any of those creepy things hanging down. And you say, I'm not getting out of this bed until I put my blindfold on. And then you get out of that bed, and having refused to avail yourselves of the light that was there, then you step on a sharp pointed object and you cut your foot and you curse me. And then you smash your toes and you curse me again. And then you get some nasty thing on your face and you swear at me. How am I the bad guy? I turned on the light. I warned you. You didn't want the light. The Bible says every day of his life, God watches men and women close the Bible, ignore the preacher, give no heed whatsoever to the scriptures, and then step on a sharp pointy thing, smash their toes on hard things, run their face into creepy things, and then curse God for it. Now you know what the Bible says. Thank God we have the scriptures. But ye do well that ye take heed to the scriptures. See, there's a difference. It's not enough to have the warnings. It's not enough to have the guidance. It's not enough to be forewarned. It's not enough to be shown the way to go and the way not to go. We have got to take heed to the word of God. Your nation, my nation, it's in dire straits. And that's not a, I'm not making a political statement. Your nation's in a terrible situation. And I have no thought for economics when I say that. You live in a nation where murder, rape, child molestation, and stealing are so commonplace. They no longer shock or offend decent citizens anymore. You understand? If things are so bad that things being this bad are no longer upsetting, they're worse than so bad. Murder is no longer shocking. Rape is no longer shocking. Lists being published of people who harm little children. You look at it, you say, oh, yeah, okay. But what's the stock market like today? You know, it's just ho-hum. It's ordinary. Now, there are Bibles in the hotel rooms. There are Bibles in department stores. There's Bible on the radio. There's Bible in the pulpit. Everywhere you look, there's Bible, 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 Bible. So how did we get in this mess? It's not enough to have the Word of God. You have to take heed to the Word of God. You have to pay attention to what it says. Let's go now in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. That's just three books before 2 Peter there. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 8. But unto the Son, who's that? Jesus Christ, Son of God. Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God. Okay, Jesus Christ is my God. I hope he's your God. He's the one and only true God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. Okay, that's the environment. Won't last. But thou remainest. That's Jesus Christ. So if you're going to pick something to worship, it ought to be Jesus, not what Jesus made. Jesus is enduring. And we learn here what he made is not enduring. It says, they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Verse 12, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. All right, so the earth gets hot, the earth gets cold. The earth's under a flood, and then it's not under a flood. The earth is renovated by fire, and then it's not on fire. The earth changes. Jesus Christ never changes. So the Bible says in verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And then chapter 2, therefore, what does that word do? It connects chapter 2 to what we just read in chapter 1. Okay, therefore, since the earth is not going to abide, since the creation is not going to stand the test of time, since God is eternal and everything else is temporary, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now look, if the mighty mountains are not permanent, if the great oceans are not permanent, if the sun, moon, and stars are only temporary, well, how much more fleeting is your life in this body of dust? Now, if that's true, and we know it's true, if that is true, shouldn't we be paying more attention to the Word of God? Shouldn't we be giving more earnest heed to the Bible? Kingdoms rise and fall, and men panic, or men rejoice, and empires come and go, and men panic, or men rejoice. Health comes and goes, and men panic, and men rejoice. But there's one thing that stands through it all. It's not your youth, it's not your beauty, it's not your strength, it's not your might, it's God. And if the only thing that is permanent is Jesus Christ, and the only thing that is lasting is the Word of God, well, shouldn't we be giving it the more earnest heed? Shouldn't we be paying more attention to that? they publish these ratings, and I don't know how they figure these things out. They say things like 80 million people watched this TV show, and 70 million people watched that TV show, and 25 watched this news channel, and 30 watched that news channel. And you know how I see it as I look around my world? People are giving earnest heed to the changeable words of men who cannot be trusted. They give earnest heed to newscasts that the next day have to make retractions or corrections. They give earnest heed to newspapers. And if you've ever been interviewed and quoted in one, you know that none of those quotes are right. They're always out of context. But men give earnest heed to that which is not trustworthy. And God says, with everything around you falling apart, shouldn't you be giving more earnest heed to God and or to these words, God's words? Shouldn't you be paying a little more careful attention to the words that last, that stand the test of time? Recently, there's been much debate about cutting money and finding money and funding money and what are we going to do with the money for our public schools. And did you know that in America, that it's mandatory, it's required, it's law, that all textbooks be replaced annually? That's a lot of money. Now, when we were kids, when I was a kid, it wasn't like that. When we were issued our books, you could look at the page in the front of the book and you could see the names of the kids for the last 12 years who had that same book. And there were some of their notes scribbled in there, some of their jokes, some of their comments, and every now and then you'd get a book that when you flip through the pages real fast, you'd see a little movie up in the top corner where they'd drawn it on every single page. That's what we'd get. Okay, the first day of school, it was great because we'd get that textbook and we'd see what was in it that wasn't supposed to be in it. You didn't want to see what was in it that was supposed to be in there, though. So it was great. For those of you that don't remember, schools used to be so much safer. They did. I mean, and I'm not talking about the crime and the violence and everything. We had nuclear fallout drills. And all you had to do was just get under the desk. If an atom bomb hit, get under the desk. Put your hands over your head and that little piece of press board is going to save your life. We don't have anything like that now. I mean, why should we worry about whether or not Iran has nuclear missiles or not? Just get a bunch of desks and make a huge umbrella out of it and put it over your house, right? There you got protection. But anyway, now they've got to print new textbooks every single year. You know why? Because the philosophy of teaching history and the philosophy of educating children and the philosophy of science and the philosophy of mathematics even is so rapidly and fundamentally changing that last year's textbooks are not to be trusted or relied upon this year. Six thousand years later, we haven't had to change one word in this book. Not one thing dug up in the earth, not one thing found in outer space, not one thing observed in a microscope, nothing evaluated in a test tube has disproven a single word in this Bible. You do well to give more earnest heed to these words. than all that other noise that's floating around out there. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 8. The 8th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5. Acts 8, 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. All right? They gave heed to the preaching of Philip regarding Jesus Christ. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Now let's be fair. If I asked you today to take a tour of downtown Kuwait, downtown Denver, downtown Manila, downtown Seoul, downtown New Delhi, downtown Washington, D.C., pick a city and travel the interior of that place, could you come out on the other side of that city and say, I found a city filled with great joy? No. And the reason would be, let's just cut through all the nonsensical terminology, the reason would be people are suffering under the grip and the power and the influence of the devil. You say, well, I don't believe in the devil. You've got to believe in the devil. You can't sit there and say, well, I just believe in the goodness of humanity. I just believe in the power of mankind. You can't believe in the goodness of humanity and not believe in the devil. Because if there's no devil, then your good mankind is the one responsible for all of this. The humanist says, we believe in mankind, but we don't believe in the devil. Well, mankind then is the source of all of the devilment. You got to adjust your psyche a little bit then. Now listen, Satan is the father of all lies. You can complain all you want about lying politicians and lying this and lying that and lying the other thing. If we could just get the devil out of the way, that lying would get cleared up. The Bible says that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. So you can say what you want about the killing and the violence and the bloodshed and the crime and all of that. Well, you can look for the solutions all you want. But if you don't get to the source, the root problem, you're not going to fix it. It's the devil. Now listen, when a man goes to rehab and comes out of rehab, you haven't got to the root. When a man goes to the jailhouse and comes out of the jailhouse, you have not got to the root. When a man goes through the shrinks program and comes out the other side, you have not got to the root. The root is the devil. And until you start taking heed to this word, you have not come across a power that is sufficient to overcome the influences of the devil in your life and in the life of your society. All right, so this city here was full of all of the heartache, sorrow, and pain that comes from the influence and the grip of Satan. And when they took heed to the preaching of the Word of God, that entire city became a place of joy. I'd like to live in a place like that. I tell you, America keeps throwing money at its problems and throwing new programs at its problems and throwing new philosophies at its problems. And the Bible says that this city got cleaned up in just no time at all when they gave heed to the preaching of the Word of God. That's when it happened. And we won't do it this morning, but we could have one man after another stand up and say, this didn't work, and that didn't work, and this didn't work, and that didn't work, and Jesus Christ put that drug scene behind me. Jesus Christ put that alcohol behind me. Jesus Christ put that despair behind me. Jesus Christ put our family back together. Jesus Christ gave me a sound mind again. Jesus Christ delivered me from my sin. You want to overcome the influence and the power of the devil in your life? You're going to take heed to the Word of God then. I don't mean that you agree to keep one in your house. I mean you take heed to what it says, and it will do the job. Okay, let's look at Psalms now, 119. Psalm 119. In your Old Testament. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his friends. By taking heed thereto according to what some movie star said on a talk show. No. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. God's word. It is still possible for a young man to be a clean man, for a young lady to be a clean lady, for a married man to be a clean man, for a married woman to be a clean woman, for a family to be a clean family, for a congregation to be a clean congregation, for a society to be a clean society. But it will take something that can clean you up, being heeded. Take heed to what the Word of God says. I'm going to say something, and I hope it doesn't sidetrack you. Hope you can get your mind back on track after I'm done saying this, but whatever view the media has pushed you into, of this open and public display of and the acceptance of homosexuality, 30 years ago, it was understood by most nations that that was an improper and an unacceptable manner of life. Now, listen carefully, because this is not, what I'm saying is not about homosexuality. What I'm about to say is not about that. There is a spirit of rebellion in man, and it's stronger in youth than in adults. When you get old, you figure out, well, it doesn't do any good. If I fight it anyway, it's not going to change. So you just sort of settle in, you find a spot, you find a wife, you get a piece of land, and you live out your days. But when you're young, that rebellion is a driving, powerful force in your life when you're young. In America, from, say, 1620 to 1950, that rebellion was kept in check. It was kept under control. by a constant, steady barrage of the preaching of the Word of God, which was heeded by parents, by grandparents, by civic leaders, social leaders, and it kept that rebellion under control. After the Second World War, we began to neglect the Word of God and began to worship materialism and psychology and all of those things. And so in the 50s, young people turned to Elvis and casual clothing. Why? To shock and to offend their parents and their grandparents. It wasn't that the music was great. It wasn't that their hair looked all that good. It was just a way to offend the older generation. And the more offensive the older generation found it to be, well, then the cooler it was to you as a young person. 10 years later, well, Elvis was boring. And your hair had to be 2 feet long, had to be dirty, or else it would not upset Dad. Because Dad grew up with Elvis and his casual clothes. And look, now I'm not talking about Elvis. I'm talking about something that has happened in our society. The hippie generation. I mean, look, common sense. There was no fun in sleeping dirty in the park. But it enraged Grandpa. Grandpa didn't like it, so let's do it. And so we turn to that which the older generation found offensive. Along came the Beatles with their long hair. Long hair. It was neatly styled, and it didn't even touch their collars. They wore suits and ties. They sang harmony with the beat in the background, even. They play Elvis and Beatles now in the nursing homes for great-grandma's dance class. It's true. So why isn't anybody interested in that anymore? It's not offensive anymore. So in the 70s and then the 80s, here comes the drug culture. Drug culture? What do you mean drug culture? Don't you mean the codependency problem? I mean, he's not a downright druggie. Don't call him a druggie. He's a person in need of our sympathy and our support and our funding. That means our money. I mean, look, it's not shocking anymore. So these poor kids now in high school, today, their parents are Bible-less. Their grandparents are Bible-less. Their society is Bible-less. The only thing that can upset my dad now is to tell him I'm a homo. The only thing to cause mother to be shocked is to tell her I'm a lesbian. They're not turning to this for sexual orientation, as they say, or genetic predisposition. We have reached, it's just the fact that we've reached a place in our society where there's not much left to show our rebellion. What are we going to do? Walk around without any clothes on? Mom does that. What are we going to do? Sneak around and use drugs? Dad sells them at work. I'm telling you, if you don't take heed to the Word of God, it gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And the whole society continually embraces new depths of depravity as being normal. Why? Because there's no cleansing agent but the Word of God. And if you don't take heed to the Word of God, what used to be dirty, you're going to call it clean now. And then once you get used to that, the next wave, it's got to be dirtier. You understand that? Can't you get that? 10 years from now, nobody will be shocked by public displays of homosexuality. Some places in this world, they're already, it's common. You know, it's normal. Then what? Then what will it take to shock decent people? You realize that your conservative church leaders right now and your fundamental ministers today, if you could send them, the preachers of today, if you could send them back in time 40 years, nobody would want to hear from them. Church ministers today are so dirty and so far from the truth compared to what two generations ago recognized and understood that nobody would give them the time of day. Now it's mainstream. It's common. Why? Because they're not taking heed to this word. Now, if you will heed this word, you can stay clean in a dirty world. But if you don't take heed to this word, this world is going to just pull you right down with it. It'll pull you right down with it. So I hope you get that. Let's get back on track now. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I really don't know where they can go past this and depravity. You know, what could be the next way to upset mom and dad? 1 Corinthians 3. He said, that's hard preaching. Well, yeah, but you can get the other stuff just about anywhere. If you come here, you're going to get something completely different. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You know what you ought to take heed to? How you build your marriage, how you build your career, how you build your library, how you build your children, how you build your thought life. You ought to take heed to all of that. See, what you do today, the things you do today, you've got to deal with tomorrow. What you do this week, you've got to deal with it a week from now. What you do this month, you're going to have to deal with it next month. Look, people today, they are so disconnected. They think everything's a 30-minute sitcom or a one-hour program, and then you can just turn it off when it's over. You don't turn it off when it's over. What you do today, you've got to build on that tomorrow. You've got to live with that tomorrow. You've got to face that tomorrow. You've got to sort that out tomorrow. You ought to take heed to the Word of God and build today what you're going to enjoy tomorrow. Instead of build today what you're going to have to try to figure out how to get out of tomorrow. So you need to take heed how you build. How you build. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So the second thing we ought to take heed to is our example. We ought to take heed to our example. Your president is responsible to set an example. If he doesn't set the right example, it will have an effect. Your political leaders, your social leaders, your school teachers, your policemen, your fathers, your mothers, your preachers, all of us are supposed to be setting an example. You know what the Bible says? Mother, you better take heed to the Word of God so you can set the right example. Fathers, you better take heed to the Word of God so you can set a right example. Parents, your children are watching you, watching your every move, and they're going to learn something by what they see. How is a little boy going to learn how to shave when he grows up if you don't let him watch you? How is a little girl going to learn about fixing her hair and all the things ladies do if she doesn't learn it from her mother? You're an example. You're an example. The way you respond to situations, your children are learning. The words you say, they're learning from you. The way you sit, the way you move, the way you act. You know what the Bible says? We ought to get our hearts and minds filled with this Word of God and take heed to the example that we're setting. Take heed to the example that we're setting. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10. Let me ask you something. If little girls learn how to do their hair and get dressed and bake cookies watching mom, what do they learn watching Hollywood programs night after night after night? If little boys learn how to weed a garden and fix a lawnmower and tune a car engine watching dad, what do they learn watching nearly naked dancing girls at the basketball game and cursing and swearing and beer commercials and liquor commercials? And I'm telling you, we ought to take heed to the example that we're setting. Examples are followed. There are people watching you, people who love you and respect you and look up to you and recognize you. They're watching you. So you ought to take heed. Take heed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So you ought to be in this Bible, paying attention to this Bible, because you could go down today if you don't. You could go down today. You could mess up today if you don't. You could go wrong today if you don't. So you ought to pay attention to the Bible. You ought to take heed. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians. Just keep going a little bit more to the right. You'll find Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Church member, are you saved? Are you saved? You got a Bible? Do you love the Lord? Do you love His people? All of them? All of them? Every single one of them? Galatians 5:15. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Now Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16:18. The devil can't destroy God's church, but saved people can. If you're biting that brother or you're biting that sister and you don't love that brother and you don't love that sister and you won't forgive that brother and you won't forgive that sister and you won't fix that relationship and you refuse to get that one patched up, you are destroying the church with your Bible and your love for God and your tracts that you hand out. You're destroying the church. And the Bible says you ought to take heed. Jesus Christ died for that person that you don't like anymore. Jesus Christ loves that person that you don't want to talk to anymore. Jesus Christ is blessing that person that you want to drop dead. And you're just hurting the church. The Bible says you ought to take heed to His word. You say, well, yeah, but they said, well, why are you taking heed to that? Why? You're supposed to take heed to this. Well, but they did. Why are you taking heed to that? You're supposed to take heed to this. Well, I heard that they... Why are you listening to that? You're supposed to be taking heed to this. This book says, love, forgive, long-suffering, gentle, patient, merciful, kind. What are you taking heed to? Your emotions? Your feelings? Your desire to get even? You better take heed to this book. You're going to hurt your church. Okay, then I won't hurt it. I'll just leave it. That hurts it. That hurts it. You ought to just obey the Bible and take heed to the Word of God. All right. Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews 3. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 and verse number 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh, I'd never turn from God. All right, well, let's look. Here's how it happens. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you, that would never happen to me, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now that's a remarkable passage. Take it from the end and work your way back. You know what the Bible says? My heart can be hardened. My heart. Is the Bible written to you? Okay, it says your heart can be hardened. Second thing, it says my heart can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Your heart can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Every one of us is capable of having our hearts hardened because sin deceives us. Now here's what's sad. It's convicting. You know what the Bible says? You know how long it takes for that to happen? One day. It takes one day for my heart to get hardened. It takes one day for sin to start deceiving me. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the passage says daily. I've got to take heed daily to the Word of God because every day I'm taking heed to news and entertainment and the world and its philosophies. Every day it's hardening my heart by its deceptions. Well, let me ask you something. People who dropped out of a Bible preaching church years ago, what kind of shape do you think they're in today? A nation that's never been under the preaching of the Word of God, what kind of shape do you think it's in today? They're deceived and their hearts are hard. And the Bible says every one of us, you know what we need? We need daily fellowship, daily preaching, daily Bible reading, daily encouragement. Why? Because the day that I'm not taking heed to the Word of God is a day my heart is getting harder. A day I'm not taking heed to the Word of God is a day that sin is deceiving me. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. I'm telling you, today is a day I need to take heed to the Word of God. Today is a day you need to take heed to the Word of God. Here's what I've noticed. I've noticed that the opposing influences do not take a day off. There's never a day you ride down the highway and they've folded up the billboards and said, "We're not going to try to influence you today." Every day, come on, you walk into your job, and there's a day when they celebrate this, there's a day when they celebrate that, and there's a day when they're promoting this, a day when they're promoting that. They never have a day at your job when they say, "This is no cussing day, no swearing, no lying day today. We're going to be nice to Christians." They never have a day like that. There aren't days like that. This world keeps trying to harden your heart. Satan keeps trying to deceive you. You know what you need to do? Today, you need to take heed to the Word of God. You need to not just have a Bible, not just read a Bible. Beyond that, you've got to take heed to the Bible. Do what it says every single day. Huh? Every day? Well, you know, they deliver a newspaper every day. They put out a newscast every day. They pipe the music in every day. They try to get you to go here and go there and do this and do that every day. Well, so why wouldn't we take heed to the Word of God every single day? Every day. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Okay, let me finish up with this. I have a wife. I love my wife. She has a husband. She puts up with her husband. Okay? It's as good a relationship as you can have in this world. So that's the foundation. Now, think about this. I do not have to run off with another woman to harm my relationship. It doesn't have to go that far before the harm is done. You understand? The moment I begin to entertain thoughts in that direction, I've already harmed the relationship. You say, "Yeah, right, you're exaggerating." All right? If it was your husband and you found out he was thinking about how much better it would be to be with some other woman than with you, would not your relationship already be harmed? Come on, sure it would. "Sir, she's not with another guy. She's not calling another guy. She's not meeting another guy. But if you heard her talking on the phone about how much better it would be to be with him than with you, would not just the expression of her heart's intent or desire, wouldn't that instantly harm your relationship?" Okay. So what does the Bible say? You say, "Well, I don't do this, I don't do that, and I don't go here, I don't go there." All right, good for you. But you know what the Bible says? The minute my heart begins to depart from God, I have harmed my relationship with God. The minute I begin to desire the way that is dirty instead of the way that is clean, the way that's wrong instead of the way that is right. In that instant, I have harmed the relationship. So that's why the Bible says, take heed. Take heed how you build. Take heed of your example. Take heed where you walk. Take heed with whom you fellowship. Every single day there's a battle for your heart's affection. Every single day there's a battle for your desire and your affection and your love and your service. I don't want to be found with an evil heart of unbelief. What's the prevention? Taking heed to the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us all the warnings and all of the guidance that we need in this life. Lord, but thank you even more for making it clear that it's not enough just to have it, but we need to take heed and do what it says so that we can have the good life, the blessed life that you want us to have, and so that we can avoid the troubles in this world and the deceit in this world and the sin of this world and live a clean life for you in this dirty world. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us has heard the instruction, has heard the warning, and understands they've got to take heed as they read daily what you have to say for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.